This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Packer and Durham. No Durham today. Blessed to be back, though. He's under weather. Rooting for him. Speedy recovery. He'll be all right. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. We continue to stream live on the ESPN app. You've also got us on Sirius XM Channel 371. All right, later this hour, LaChyna Robinson will join us to talk about the ladies' bracket. All chalk yesterday. Six ACC teams in action. 4-1, 2-loss, 2-play today. One at high noon with North Carolina against Alabama. Louisville goes tonight against Marist. We'll talk about the women, though, around 8:30. But right now, the coach joins us. That'd be Seth Greenberg. Seth, good morning. How are you?
What's up, Pack? I'm doing great. Great weekend of basketball. Oh, and
crazy.
Obviously not great for the ACC, but, I mean, just great drama. I mean, you think we're playing basketball. There's an NCAA tournament. We've had upset winners. We've had dramatic finishes. We've had great storylines. It's what the tournament's supposed to be. A slice of normalcy in a very uncommon and unnormal, environment.
You're right about that. By the way, today is the first Monday with NCAA tournament action that doesn't involve a title game since 1972, which was UCLA and Long Beach State. How about that?
That's Jerry Tarkanian's squad. And that might have been Lou Dolson's squad, actually. And I wasn't coaching then. I was playing still then.
Oh yeah, dominating.
But for people that think I'm a fossil, I'm not that much of a fossil.
By the way, before we start breaking down all these crazy games and what's going on, I need to let folks know that when we started this whole concept, when Wes and I, we just celebrated our 3-year anniversary on March 5th, which was the very first radio show on Sirius XM 371, which was called ACC This Morning. And when, again, we eventually changed it to The Central. But the very first show, the debut show, it was actually me and you, because Wes was flying off. And even for our debut, Wes gave us like about 10 seconds as he was boarding a Delta flight to go call a game with all the stuff that was going on. So he couldn't make the debut. And you were my partner. So it kind of feels like we're kind of back home doing the thing again, right?
Well, I set a high standard, and I'm just trying to see if Wes can live up to it.
All right, speaking of high standards, Syracuse and double-digit seeds, right? I mean, we're just having fun on the show today with, in four words or less, describe your ACC basketball season. And if you try to do it with Syracuse, you'd have to say double digits and dangerous. Right, here we go again, third time since 16. Syracuse goes double digits, and they're in the Sweet 16. What a story.
I'd say Buddy Buckets and the end zone, because you can't prepare for that zone. If you haven't seen it, if you don't have a good feel for it, you can't prepare for that zone in 36 hours. You can't prepare for that zone when they've been as active as they've been. And Buddy Boeheim is playing with incredible, incredible confidence. I mean, every time he shoots it, you think it's going in. He's moving without the ball. He's using his shot fake to set up a drive. And they're finding him. They understand something really special is going on, and everyone is playing off of what he brings to the team. But the defense has also been better. The rebounding's also been better. Their sense of urgency has been better. And that zone in a tournament, especially after the 4 or 5 minute mark when Jim starts to make the adjustments, you can't simulate that. You can put it up in practice. You can put your second team in it. You can say the forwards are up higher and the center's back and we're going to get it to the middle. Well, if you're not a scorer, like West Virginia put Osabu in the middle, you know what? He can't score. So you know the big guy doesn't play him. Then if you put a little guy in the middle, if he doesn't have the ability to really raise up, they come up and play him just one step and you got a big contest in him. It's hard to get the ball reversed. It's hard to screen it. It's the things you've got to do. So I said it in our game day show yesterday. You got to come in from behind it, and then you've got to flatten it on the baseline with someone behind the defense. And, look, it disrupts the tempo of the game. And it was fascinating to watch their last two games.
You know what else was impressive yesterday? You know, they get off to the great start. It's 11-2. You're thinking, all right, so far so good. They're making threes. You're up 14. You felt like you had West Virginia on the ropes, but you knew, hey, they're a good team, a really good offensive team. They're going to make a run. And it happened. I mean, there's a reason old Bob Huggins won 900 games. But when West Virginia took the lead yesterday, Coach, didn't you get a sense that, okay, hey, it's time to man up. How are you going to respond? Next thing you know, Syracuse is up 11. That was a championship DNA run where, hey, guess what? Life's been good. Things are going our way. We got punched in the face. Now we're behind. How do we respond? You know, Dolje had four fouls. He had to play smart down the stretch. And there were a lot of things that you watched that game yesterday. And you went, you know what? Syracuse has their act together. They're playing with supreme confidence, and they're playing without question their best basketball of the year right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that they are. I mean, and more importantly, it's their sense of purpose and the toughness. This is a tougher Syracuse team. What I mean by tougher, you know, they get punched back in the face, they respond. Alan Griffin gives them a toughness that can rebound from the perimeter. Gary is a tough matchup that comes up with 50-50 balls. Dolje is a guy that he's like a Swiss Army knife. They have a grit about him. And even Gerard, who I've been down on because, I just don't know where he fits. He's really a two-guard, unlimited range, but easy to throw over. He played without fear. They've got a tight rotation. But they did. They got punched in the face. And the only thing I would say is, can you work on your dead ball inbound?
Oof.
I think that's the biggest thing. The end of the game, can we just not throw the ball to the ball side corner? Can we run the baseline when we're allowed to run the baseline? Can we work a little harder to get open? I mean, guys were jogging to get open. You got to set your guy up. You got to be physical. You got to compete to get open. I actually texted Adrian Autry last night after the game. I said, hey, great win. He was my former assistant at Virginia Tech. I said, but give Jim our old dead ball inbound. I promise you it'll be easier to get it in. I mean, but they are showing a toughness, Pack, and they're showing a spirit. And I one of the coolest pictures of the whole tournament was, I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but Buddy and Jim embracing in the hallway after the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that was –
that's what it's about.
And you can say all you want about Coach. He's cantankerous. He doesn't interview with anyone, you know, and it's under – Boban, if you're 7'2", you know, he might, you know, give you an interview, but he actually loves interviews. But he is a great one-off coach because he makes great adjustments and he figures out a way to get his team to feel the moment.
Well, you don't win 900 plus and you don't go to 20 Sweet 16s without knowing what you're – yeah, you got to have good players, but you got to be able to diagram some stuff at some point in time. You just don't roll the ball out there and go, hey, anybody could do that. The guy's a pretty good coach. Well, that leads us, though, with Syracuse. They play Saturday night late game against Houston, and, of course, Houston found a way late to come back and knock off Rutgers last night. Do you like that matchup or not for Syracuse?
The only thing that concerns me, Pack, is the rebounding. Houston is a relentless offensive rebounding team. You saw that at the end of the Rutgers game. Rutgers had that game won. It's one stop. It's one rebound. And they have a fight and a competitive spirit second to none on the glass. They pursue every single missed shot like it's a pass off the backboard. I mean, and they're coming from all angles. You follow the fly to the ball, they're rebounding. If Syracuse can rebound the ball and just compete on the backboards, they're winning this game. All right, but I guarantee you their main focus next 3 days, 4 days for Syracuse is we have to rebound the ball. Guards, you have to come back. Guards, you can't follow the fly to the ball when it gets shot. You've got to help those bigs come back. Wings, right? You might contest a shot. You got to help the guards. You got to help those bigs come back. Weak side wing. We got to get two on the backside because they're going to fly two to the glass. So if they can rebound the basketball, they will get deflections. They will be able to get out in transition. That'll be the key.
You know, when you look at the Midwest, though, Seth, Houston's a two. Loyola Chicago, they were awesome this weekend. And yesterday, spectacular. They're an eight. Cuse is an 11. 12 is an Oregon State. I mean, you're talking about up for grabs. I think if you're Jim Boeheim and Buddy and the rest of that crew getting out of bed this morning, not only are you thrilled to death with the fact, hey, we're still kicking and we play on Saturday, but you take a look around your environment by going, hey, we could stay in Indy for a while here. I know he's got to worry about Houston. It's the only game that matters. But you take inventory of that of the company you're in the Midwest, hey, I think you take your chances with the way Syracuse is playing right now.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that loyalty put on a clinic yesterday. Oh, it was awesome. A clinic. I mean, I'm a huge Io DeSumo fan. I'm a big Brian Underwood fan. Porter Moser, what he was able to do offensively and defensively, how he uses Krautwig. I always say that Krautwig, to me, is Nikola Jokic. Like, he is the total pay. He can pass it. He can shoot it from free throw line. He puts it on the floor some. Everyone was complaining that they weren't guarding him. They weren't pressuring him. The reason is, if Kofi Coburn pressured him, he would dribble right by him. Or he'd foul Kofi Coburn out, so they played him soft. But when you play him soft, I always used to say ball pressure buys time. If you pressure the basketball, then it buys time to cover up defensive mistakes. If you play soft, that guy's like in a quarterback in a pocket, and he's just surveying the floor. And that's exactly what happened. And offensively, the precision of the Loyola offense,
great.
How they wait for screens, their ability to screen, the spacing they played with, that was a clinic. And so was the Oklahoma State-Oregon State game. I thought Oregon State really executed well. But the bracket is wide open. And again, second day, if Cuse is fortunate enough to win their first game, it is really impossible to prepare for them in 36 hours. You can talk about it all you want. You can show all the film you want. If you're not a shot-faking, ball-faking team, if you're not a team that plays behind the defense, if you're not a team that has a little bit of dribble penetration but under control, if you're not a team that can play ahead of the defense, and then finally, if you're not a team that is an elite offensive rebounding team, that zone will give you problems. That zone will create offense for Syracuse.
All right, before we go to break, tonight Florida State did not shoot the ball particularly well against UNC Greensboro. Still a little sloppy with the basketball, even though it wasn't as bad as it was in the ACC tournament against Georgia Tech. Hopefully nothing ever will be again with 25 turnovers. But you find a way to win. But now you take on Colorado, and the Pac-12 has been a phenomenal story. They're still unbeaten in this tournament, go figure. Colorado, terrific guard play. McKinley Wright, you talked about him briefly during the break. He's spectacular, senior guard. They got guys who can shoot. They're the best free throw shooting team in the tournament. Pack line defense. Florida State better shoot the basketball today. I mean, you're going to have opportunities on the wings, and you can't go 0-for-9 from three if you're Florida State.
I think that Florida State win was huge in this way. In the NCAA tournament, you got to have one game. You know, I remember when I was at Virginia, the year we went to the Final Four in 84, it was Iona. We barely got by him. Iona had to play the length of the floor to win the game. They missed a shot. We contested a shot, and obviously the rest is history. So you're going to have that one game. Colorado is a pack line team. They're going to keep it in front. They're not going to distort passing lanes. They're not going to overextend, very much like Virginia in terms of what they do defensively. They're a very efficient offensive team. But Florida State will still be able to switch and keep things in front. They got to contain McKinley Wright. They can't let him get in the lane and make plays for other people. They got to run hard off the three-point line. I do think that they will create some matchup problems, Florida State will, with their personnel. The biggest thing is turnovers. In their losses, they're averaging 18 turnovers a game. That's resulting in 19 points. I don't see Colorado turning them over like that. I don't see Colorado doing that, but I do see Colorado running their offense and waiting for a mistake. So defensive discipline is going to be key for Florida State. Rebounding the ball and getting extra possessions is going to be key for Florida State. Trying to get deflections and playing ahead of the defense is going to be key for Florida State. And then just settling into the game. Because I think Colorado's in a mindset they're playing with house money. All of a sudden, Florida State, there's more pressure on them. There's an expectation, especially with everything that's gone on in the league. But I think Leonard and his group will eventually settle in. I think Raquan Gray is going to be a really tough matchup for this Colorado team. I think Koprivica is a guy that is going to put a little pressure on him at the rim. And then I think the other guy is that MJ Walker's just got to play a little, just slow down a step, just a hair. But I think Florida State will find a way to win this game, but I think it'll be a heck of a game.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. I know BPI likes Colorado, which is good, and my picks are worse. But I like Florida State tonight, too. MJ Walker, only 4 points against UNC Greensboro. And, you know, Colorado made 16 threes on Georgetown. That can't happen again tonight. But we'll see. The tournament's been totally upside down.
Before you don't get 16 threes against Florida State.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's happening either. Before we go to a break, I do want to take a quick call. Ken has been holding patiently. Ken, go right ahead. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mark. How are you?
So we're good.
I
What's
up? I just want to echo what the coach said about the zone, and my four words are, how about the zone? But I got to say, I say that with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek because as a lifelong Syracuse fan, the zone kind of drives us crazy.
Well, sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad, right, Seth? I mean, as a fan, it can get frustrating sometimes. But you know what? If you're trying to, you know, as you said, hey, if you got less than 2 days to figure it out, best of luck. You can watch all the tape you want, but until you see it, it's a whole different beast.
Style of play is a key in the second game of the NCAA tournament. Style of play is a key in the NCAA tournament all along. Just look at the teams that have won and look at styles of play. If you can own the tempo and rhythm of the game, if you can put your identity on the game and own the identity of the game, then that's a huge advantage. We're seeing all these upsets. Well, you know what? These upsets are a byproduct of identity and imposing your identity on the game. And, yeah, you know, I'm sure people get frustrated. Coach stays in it. I'm sure people get frustrated. Well, you can't play the zone in the, you know, with a three-point shot, but it's the way they play the zone. You know, like there's a lot of different ways to play man-to-man. You can play pack line. You can play keep everything on one side of the floor. You can blitz ball screens. You can down ball screens. And you can push up. You can go under. There's so many different ways. The uniqueness of the way that Jim plays the zone is a huge advantage in the NCAA tournament. It's a huge advantage. Now, you get in league and people are used to it and they see it year after year after year after year, they're going to get a little bit of a feel for what works, what doesn't work. But when it's a one-off, you know, it's pretty crazy. And the other thing about just Syracuse fans at all, and I think my man who called, he was on witness protection there. But, you know, I'm not sure about that. But here's the deal. I don't care what happened during the course of the regular season. Look at the consistency of Coach Boeheim in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Look what he's been able to do. You know, the ACC, you're going to lose more games. You lose it. You know, I think the biggest thing with the Syracuse fans is they're disappointed. They've lost a lot of their natural or their normal games that, you know, those games that, you know, they always look forward to. They, you know, those rivalry games, the Georgetown game, the Villanova game, even the St. John's games back in the day. But you can't. So I think there's a void for some of the Syracuse fans. So what they have to pick on is, you know, well, they're losing more games in the ACC. But look what Jim's doing in the tournament. He finds a way to advance in the tournament.
Yeah.
It's hard. You know, one game, 40 minutes. I mean, it's easy to have a bad day. And he figures out a way to win games. The guy's amazing.
Well, 10-4 in the NCAA tournament since joining the ACC, which goes to your point.
Crazy. I mean,
you know, they had a great first year they were in the conference. And since then, they've been just over 500. They've been just okay. Nothing great. But in the tournament, like you said, when you don't get a chance to see it on a consistent basis, 10-4 in the NCAA tournament as an ACC member speaks to what you're talking about. Quick break. We come back. We'll discuss everybody else. It was a disappointing first round for the league, going 2-5. We'll talk about it when we come back. Again, more calls too. 844-SAY-ACCN. Our conversation continues with the coach, Seth Greenberg. I'm Mark Packer. I'm a partner, Wes Durham. We'll be back one of these days. We look forward to getting Wes back healthy again. You guys right here on ACC Network. We continue to stream live on the ESPN app. You guys on Sirius XM Channel 371.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
I wrote 4 years, and it was a fun journey. These guys trusted me, and I trust them. Coach Pazit put the ball in my hand since freshman year and told me to get the job done. And I don't know if I did or not, but, you know, he trusted me, and my teammates believed in me from the jump. And it was Georgia Tech changed my life. It was one hell of a ride. And I love them. I love the fans. I love the program. They changed my life regardless what happens with me in the future. I could tell everybody I was part of this team and I was part of the program.
How do you not love that guy, right? That's what it's all about right there. Love of the school, played hard. I mean, just a great career. Wore the number 5 in honor of Moses in their loss, unfortunately. But, I think everybody's a Jose fan. Everybody.
Pat, no doubt about it. You know what? In a time where there's a sense of entitlement and underappreciation of the college experience and underappreciation of the education and underappreciation of what it's all about, the journey's all about. And I'm all for NIL. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But what I heard right there was a young man that gets it, a young man that understands. It changed my life. Now think about that for just exactly what he just said. It changed my life. Why do you go to college? You go to college to prepare yourself for the rest of your life. You go to college for those unique experiences, all right, and those shared experiences. You play college athletics, all right, to share something with someone else and have a lifetime memory. Like right there, NCAA does all these goofy commercials. That's the soundbite you need to have, because that's the soundbite that 99% of the young people that play sport in college, that's what it really is all about. Not everyone goes to the Final Four. Not everyone wins a national championship. Not everyone's going to be a great pro, all right, or even a pro. But you know what you can do? You go to college to change your life, to change your station in life, to build a bridge to the rest of your life. And to me, that's right there in one simple soundbite. That's what it's all about. And that's what we lose track of because we get caught up in all of the other minutia.
Amen. 100% accurate. As far as Georgia Tech and the rest of the crew go, listen, you knew it was going to be an uphill battle with Moses Wright, right? You get the word that Moses doesn't play. We obviously, the rest of the world found out about Loyola Chicago with what they were able to do, knocking off not only the ACC champ, but also the Big Ten champ in back-to-back fashion. But, you know, the Jackets shot almost 58%, lost the game by 11. You'll look back at the season, it's success to say the least. You're the ACC champ. But, man, you'll still think there's some meat left on the bone, and you'll never know, given the fact that Moses didn't play in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you'll never know. But you know what they accomplished is incredible. And here's the thing. They lost that game, but on the scoreboard. How hard did those kids play?
Yeah.
I mean, you lose the player of the year in the league. All right, to a virus that's undefeated. And people, please don't at me. It's undefeated. All right, it's undefeated. We saw what happened with VCU the other day. It's undefeated when it comes to this. And you saw how hard those kids played and how together they were. And then you see the emotion after the game. You know, to me, if I'm Josh Pastner as a coach, you're like, I walk into that locker room, I just love those guys. I love them for who they are. I love them for how hard they play. I love them for how much they care. I love them because you know what? The whole goal of a coach is to get people to love each other, care about each other, trust each other, and be in it together. And that's exactly who that team is. And that's a reflection of Josh. It really is. I mean, you know, Josh Pastner came from Memphis. People said, oh, he can't coach. He was over his head, this and that. His passion for people, his passion for his team, his love for his players is infectious, and it permeates throughout his team. So they might have lost that game, but I'll tell you what, if I'm a Georgia Tech fan, or if I'm a person that maybe wants to be a Georgia Tech fan, I'm going and I'm renewing my tickets. I'm getting behind this team. If I'm fortunate enough to be financially secure, I'm making a donation because I see something that reflects maybe my values, my work ethic, the type of people that I want in my program, and the leadership that I would want from my head coach. To me, that Georgia Tech team in general, to see where they started as players and to see where they ended up, to see how they came together as a group, to see how the hard they played and the love they have amongst their team and the way they carry themselves, man, how can you not love that team?
Agree. Let's switch gears here real quick. Virginia, and I mentioned just earlier today, I don't know, in the history of college basketball, there's been a crazier, wilder roller coaster ride than Virginia's last three appearances in the NCAA tournament. A one seed loses to a 16. Following year, one of the most miraculous runs to a national championship ever. Then we have no season in the terms of the postseason given COVID. And now you come in as a four seed, almost feeling like an underdog to a 13, given what COVID did to them. Just kind of a weird run for Virginia, but a tough way for it to end.
Yeah, tough way for it to end. I thought Virginia would win that game for no other reason than Tony Bennett's leadership. There was no reason for them to win that game. And what I mean by that is they're playing a very good team, assist on 59% of their field goals. Jason Preston was the best player on the court, 13 rebounds, I think 8 assists, 11 points, 40% three-point shooter, 5 guys average double figures. They were a good team. And so I don't want to take anything away from them. You know, basically one practice in 7 days is not going to get it done, especially a team that's built on, you know, being connected offensively and defensively. You saw in the second half, defensively, they just couldn't maintain an intensity. Offensively, they didn't have their legs. If anyone was going to be able to pull that off, it was Tony Bennett, because of the respect I have for him, because of his calm and consistent leadership. He didn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. He stays in the moment. He looks at things through a prism that few of us are able to as coaches. So I thought maybe there's a possible way. He wasn't going to make excuses. He was going to be appreciative to have a chance to play with this team in the tournament. But Ohio University was better. And you can play the what-if game, but you also have to tip your hat to Ohio University. But they had a heck of a year. You know, all season long, I was trying to find out what was wrong with Virginia. And, you know, for all those people out there, I coached at Virginia Tech. You know, Virginia Tech, Virginia, I really don't care. I coached at Virginia also. I went to the Final Four with Coach Holland in 84. And I just, as a person that this is my job, I tried to figure out what's wrong. Well, you know, Keia Clark has the ball in his hands too late in the clock. Defensively, they struggled in their ball string coverage. They missed Braxton Key. They missed Mamadi Diakite. They were ACC champions. They were ACC. We picked them apart all season long. They were ACC champions. I thought they might have a chance to win that game just because of the culture and the attitude of their program. Tip your hat to Ohio University. They still had an amazing year and amazing 7 days to play as well as they did was incredible.
Virginia Tech and Clemson had tough losses late, but the one that really surprised me the most was North Carolina just getting blown out. I thought they were going to win the game, much less lose, and then on top of it, not even competitive. Well, what happened with the Heels?
You know, my original pick was North Carolina. You know, we have to fill the brackets in about 2 minutes and hand them in on our bracketology show. The next day, I picked Wisconsin. And I'll tell you why I picked Wisconsin. Because what does Wisconsin do, especially against this North Carolina team? They don't turn it over. They don't give you second shots. They pack line-oriented defense. They keep you in front. They invert their offense to make people guard all over the floor. All the things that are an Achilles heel for this North Carolina team, they take you out of transition. All the things that are an Achilles heel for this North Carolina team, Wisconsin did. And guard play, plus different style of play. We talk about style of play with the zone. You know, Wisconsin's style of play is different than anything that Virginia saw all season long. That swing offense and how they pull the bigs out and the spacing is just different. But they don't give you a transition. They don't give you second shots. They keep you in front. They don't turn it over. They put pressure on your guards in terms of to make plays, which we know Carolina's guards struggled all season long. When you really looked at it, this was a horrendous matchup for a young North Carolina backcourt. And now here's the question. Let me ask you, Pac. I got a question for you. How many of those North Carolina freshmen think they're pros?
Sitting on my couch, the answer is zero on my couch, but I'm not playing. I mean, none of them are going to be able to contribute to tomorrow to an NBA team, in my opinion. But I'm not a coach, and I'm on the couch. But the answer is zero.
Yeah, Daron Sharp will stay probably in the draft, probably. I'm interested to see, because it just seems like a bad – they're all going to put their name in, because that's just what they want to see. You know, guys want to see their name on the ticker. And it's, you know, you can't put your name in because you're going to get the feedback. Now, we'll – my thing, just across the board in the ACC, I mean, the ACC lost a ton of guys to the NBA a year ago. I'm interested to see who comes back, whether it's a senior who comes back or whether it's a freshman or sophomore that comes back. Because everyone's in a rush to get to the league. You know, someone needs to explain to these young people, it's staying in the league. That's right. It's staying in the league. It's not getting to the league. It's staying in the league. And you can build your brand and develop your game in college and actually have a longer career if you have some patience and running your own race. I would say to all these young players, run your own race. Don't listen to the static. Make the decision that's best for you and not because of peer pressure or someone who's trying to – everyone talks about exploitation – or is trying to exploit you because they're an agent that's trying to make money on you. Do what's best for you and your career, because this experience you'll never get back.
Coach, well said. Listen, always a pleasure. Got more games today, tonight. Who knows what happens this weekend? The tournament's already been upside down, but we always appreciate the time.
Pat, appreciate you, man. Be safe, and tell Wes, make the turn, and then I know he's got 3 or 4 more games to call. After that, we're glad to have him back.
You got it. We'll talk on to our you. Show. Yeah, on our show. That's it. Packer Greenberg. Show. That's it. The one we started.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to you later. Seth Greenberg. I know we got Hoops on the Brain. LaChana Robinson's coming up here momentarily. However, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? Football is in the air. The ACC spring football game schedule starts with Duke Spring Showcase at Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium in Durham. That's Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central, right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. Blue Devils head coach David Cutcliffe enters his 14th season, looking to bounce back from last year. You'll get football because it's coming up. That's coming up Saturday. All about D-U-K-E on ACCN. When we return, LaChana Robinson joins us, and we're going to talk about the ladies. A lot of chalk in the NCAA tournament. North Carolina and Louisville played later today and tonight. But we'll break down what happened yesterday with the ACC, with the women's tournament, next, right here on Packer and Durham, again on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app.
Packer and Durham. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
You just tuned in and said, well, Pack, where's Wes? Wes's been under the weather. Hadn't been feeling great. So we wish our partner a speedy recovery. He will be back, I'm sure, soon. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. If you did not catch the early part, we kind of threw one of my infamous goofball questions on you, and that is this kind of excludes Syracuse and their fans because you're still alive and kicking. It excludes Florida State and their fans because you play tonight against Colorado. It excludes NC State because they're still alive in the NIT. But your favorite men's ACC basketball program, the other 12 of you, that everybody now on the couch, how would you describe your season in 4 words or less? It's really your final 4 words to describe your season. 844-SAY-ACCN. We'll get LaChana on here momentarily to talk about the ladies. But let me go to Doug. He's in South Carolina. Doug, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Doing well. Yourself?
I am great. What's happening?
Well, let's see. My 4 words would be, Tony can't beat COVID.
Who can? I mean, seriously. And I know Virginia fans, that was a tough loss. And we talked about this last week. Number one, you were hoping they were going to pass protocol, having been tested once they arrived Friday, same thing after midnight Saturday morning, to get ready to go practice Saturday to play Saturday night against a good team in Ohio, who is the 13 seed. You heard all of last week leading into the fact that Virginia, even though they were 4, kind of felt like they were the underdog. When you don't have a chance to practice, I don't care if you're from a Power 5 league, I don't care if you're an elite team, which Virginia is, when you cannot practice and you're taking on a team that won 9 of 10 that has terrific guard play, and you saw what Preston was able to do in that game, and he was terrific. You knew that was going to be a tough matchup. And, you know, it doesn't matter that, hey, you can't beat COVID. Nobody beats COVID. We keep harping on this now since March of last year. You got to be safe. COVID doesn't care. You know, not only did Virginia have a week in which they didn't practice, how about the kids at VCU? You know, they put in the effort, and all of a sudden, hey, fail a test. You don't even get a chance to play. Imagine a heartbreak for VCU. So I know Virginia fans are disappointed, and that's a bummer. And like I said earlier, I don't think there's been another team in the history of college basketball that has had a weirder run in the last 4 years when you take the sample size of what Virginia's gone through. When you've seen a 1 seed lose to a 16, it's never happened before, ever. Virginia's got that. You get a situation the following year that Virginia goes on perhaps one of the greatest runs ever to win an NCAA championship. The following year, COVID doesn't care. They wiped out the whole tournament. And then what you saw over the weekend where a 13 seed beats a 4, and you watch the game and you're like, you know what? They Ohio deserved to win a game. They were better down the stretch when it mattered. So I know Virginia fans are disappointed with the way it ended, but said earlier, you got a great coach. He's a better person. He's got it in perspective, and Virginia's going to be just fine. All right, switch gears. We'll get more of your phone calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. But LaChana Robinson joins us now to talk about the ladies' side, which was all chalk yesterday. LaChana, what's happening?
How are you? Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. I know you got your hat. I got my hat. It was a bummer, though.
Yes.
I see it back there. I love it. Wake was a great story. I know yesterday was a disappointing end, but still, big picture, the job Jen Hoover did to get back for the first time since the late 80s was really a feel-good story.
Yeah. I mean, Mark, we can't lose sight of what Wake Forest accomplished. Again, as you mentioned, tough to see the Deacs go out that way. But when you look at the legacy, the culture that Jen Hoover embodies, the winning culture, I think what we saw this year is a testament to her hard work, her relentlessness in building that Wake Forest program and getting the right players, the buy-in, and really changing the trajectory of the program. I mean, once you get that NCAA tournament appearance, recruits start to look at you a little different. So, I think the program's definitely moving in the right direction, though I know yesterday was a tough loss, but Oklahoma State's a very good team, and Natasha Mack will probably go in the top half of the WNBA draft. So just a tough draw in game one. A
lot of chalk yesterday. We'll talk about the four ACC teams that won. Tough days for Wake Forest and Florida State, but what about the comeback by Georgia Tech? They're the 5 seed. They're taking on a 12. Next thing you know, life's been pretty good. You're down 17 at the half, and then bam, here come the Jackets. They win in overtime.
I don't think anyone's surprised by what we saw from Georgia Tech. You know, there's been this motto for Tech over the last couple of years. It's Tech tough. And this team just has a relentlessness, a toughness that you can't put into words, especially with Lorella Kubai. I mean, what an incredible player. If I could draft her right now in the WNBA, I would take her, though I think she may be staying around for a little bit. But with her size, her competitive drive, she can really will a team. And I just thought the overall contributions, the balance of Georgia Tech that we've seen all season long, even when things aren't pretty, they just grit it out. They get stops when they need to. They get rebounds when they have to. And I just thought this team showed their experience yesterday and just an unbelievable. I mean, it is tough to come back in an NCAA tournament game when you have that type of deficit. But Georgia Tech did it. And shout out to Nell Fortner. Nell, yeah.
LaChana, how about the expression on Nell's face when that game finally came to an end? Because, you know, Stephen F. Austin makes the layup after the buzzer. And just the expression on her face, like, you could just sense of, oh, thank goodness. Let's just survive in advance. You hear that term all the time when it comes to the NCAA tournament. And that really was the true definition, just seeing her expression at the very end yesterday.
Oh, yeah. She had to be exhausted. And the thing about Nell is whenever you talk to her pregame, no matter how well Georgia Tech is playing, she's always like, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. And, you know, they come out and blow a team out by, like, you know, 20 points. So she's kind of very even, but I definitely think there was a sigh of relief to get through that first round game. And this is a Tech team that we knew could make a long run. And I think they're even more dangerous after that comeback because they've shown themselves what they can do. Now they do have their work cut out for them with a very tough West Virginia team. I have all the respect for Mike Carey. And this will be truly a battle of toughness of two teams that are just will impose their will on you, both on the defensive end and on the glass as well.
Yeah, it'll be a good 4-5 matchup. Elizabeth Kitley is going to join us next hour. She has been terrific all year. And Kenny Brooks' team is one of those teams that, hey, you better be careful. Now, I know they got a huge test coming up with Baylor, but for Kenny Brooks and company, that was nice to see them have their first NCAA tournament win since 06.
Yeah, it's tough to get in and then get that first win all at the same time when it's been a while since your team has been in the postseason. But I'm so happy that the world is getting an opportunity to see what Liz Kitley is really about. I mean, 23 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists and 1 turnover. And those are the key stats for me, is that she was able to pass the ball out of double teams effectively, keep her teammates engaged without turning it over. And that's where she's really grown throughout the course of this season in particular. It's just that decision-making. But she's tough. And I don't think she gets enough credit for being one of the best post players in the country now. Who you really need to worry about as well as they move on to play Baylor is Asia Shepherd, because she's the kind of player, and I mentioned this coming into the NCAA tournament, she could easily go off for 30 or 40 piece with the way she shoots the ball, with that scorer's mentality. But they're going against the number one defense in the country in the Baylor Lady Bears. So, you know, Kitty Brooks, I'm sure, is figuring out ways that he can get Shepherd and Kitley open for shots, because they will have to be effective.
Yeah, that 1-2 combination is terrific, and that's why they are a dangerous team. The number one seed from the ACC is NC State. Struggled a little early, right? I mean, first get the jitters out, but once they got rolling, NC State continues to play well.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it had been, what, 2 weeks since the Wolfpack had played, and you don't want to take anything away from North Carolina A&T. I was actually really impressed with Terrell Robinson's team. They were third in the country in field goal percentage defense, so a lot of respect for the Aggies. But it was definitely a slow start for NC State, something that, you know, they've kind of struggled with throughout the course of the season. But what really got them through is what I believe separates this team, and that's their mental maturity and poise. You know, the number of games where they've come back in the fourth quarter this year being down, I mean, this is a team that never really gets rattled. They've got experienced players. You know, they know what they're good at. They play to their strengths. And I really thought the other part of yesterday's win for NC State that was impressive was just the work they got off of the bench. Jada Boyd, as we know, sixth player of the year, was fantastic when they needed her, especially after Kayla Jones left the game with injury. But Genesis Bryant also came off of the bench and gave them some key contributions. The player that I've been saying from day one, though, that is to me the X factor is Crutchfield. You know, I just in my heart believe that whether it's her defense, which she played fantastic against Deja Winters yesterday, or her shot-making ability, I just believe that Crutchfield is going to be the X factor for the Wolfpack as they look to continue to advance.
Well, Chyna, it was a good weekend for Syracuse. The men take care of business. They punched their ticket to the Sweet 16. And for Q and the ladies, he talked about slow starts, but really it was the finish yesterday that put that game out of sight, out of mind. If you saw just the final score, you went, oh, Syracuse won easy. But it was a 22-7 explosion in the final quarter that did the difference for the Cuse to move forward.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing about this Syracuse team is they've had to make so many changes down the stretch of the regular season into the ACC tournament, and that's not easy to do at this time of year. You know, they were without Tiana Mungakahia in the ACC tournament. They are now without Priscilla Williams. And those are two starters that you have had to take in and out of the lineup. So Quentin Hillsman has had to make some adjustments. But the key for the Syracuse Orange, the player to watch to me, is always Emily Anxler. You know, there's just no one like her in the country when you look at her size, her wingspan, her athleticism, you know, how she impacts the defensive end with steals and blocks. But then, you know, she can play the perimeter, handle the ball in the open court against pressure. And, yes, it's a tall task against the Connecticut Huskies, but I think the country may be surprised by what they see in this matchup. Mm. To me, Syracuse is so dangerous in the NCAA tournament because of that zone. You know, teams aren't used to facing that kind of pressure all year long, back to that zone, having to hit threes. And just a team that can put a different lineup on the floor and has some interchangeable pieces on offense. I think that's going to be a fun game. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
Oh, I'm reading between the lines there. Well, number one on the upset alert trail. I heard that, LaChyna. You're not fooling me on that. I hear you. Hear you on that. By the way, we've had all this.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Listen, we've had all this chalk. Higher seeds are going to win so far. Can North Carolina buck the trend when they take on Alabama at high noon? They're the 10 seed.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I think it's going to be definitely, you know, a challenge. You know, you look at Alabama's season and what they've done in the SEC. You know, they've got tremendous athleticism, can put a bunch of players in a press situation and really kind of take you out of what you want to do with their defense. But as you know, Pac, I mean, gosh, North Carolina really found their stride towards the end of the regular season, and nobody wanted to play them. I mean, no one wanted to play the Tar Heels. And I think Courtney Banghart has found the right button to push with her team and getting the most out of them. Their small lineup, small ball, transition ball, you know, I think is a beautiful offense for them, more open, flowing. Janelle Bailey, obviously, is the centerpiece of that. But, you know, they will need contributions across the board, in particular, I think, from Stephanie Watts, you know, a player that's been in some clutch situations, that has that experience, A very young roster. She will, to me, need to be the perimeter player that really takes the reins early for North Carolina, for them to take control and hopefully roll the tide. Is that what you would say?
Yeah. That's what you say on this network. Yes, that would be accurate. By the way, before we let you go, and I know Louisville plays tonight against Marist, 2-15. Jeff Walls Club's really playing well. Dan Evans, awesome. But I need to ask you about the whiff that was made by the NCAA with the workout room. I mean, that was a complete somebody dropped the ball, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think there was a lot of disappointment across the board when, you know, we got those pictures of the weight room and what the women were given to perform at a high level. I mean, how do you do that with a set of dumbbells and a yoga mat? And I do understand that the NCAA gave them a heads up. I do understand that the issue was fixed, but it's just unacceptable. And yeah, you look at what the men have, and you know, there's an equity issue there. But even bigger than that is what these women were given to perform at a high level during a very important time of the year. And so it was something that I think all of us were very disappointed to see. And you know, you have to really tip your hat to the student athletes and the strength and conditioning coach, Allie Kirshner, at Stanford, that kind of blew the whistle on the situation. But it really speaks to a larger issue, you know, as it pertains to equality when it comes to women, not just in sport, not just with the NCAA, but in our world. You know, it's time for everyone to take a look at gender equity and the things that we're doing in our individual spaces to make sure that our girls, that our young women are getting an opportunity to have the kind of future they want to have, whether that's in sport or in business. You know, there's just no excuse for what we saw. And we have to give these young women every opportunity that we can for success in life, and in particular in everything they've been through in the last year, trying to prepare to get back to the NCAA tournament after a COVID season. They deserved the red carpet, and unfortunately, they did not get that in Texas. But they have moved on, and we've seen some great basketball, and the NCAA hopefully will address some issues that are glaring on their end as it pertains to gender equity.
Well said. By the way, before we let you go, congratulations on that Mel Greenberg Award. I was hoping that you're going to showcase that. You got to get some memento there, right? There's got to be some hardware.
Yeah, from what I understand, there's some hardware on the way. And as long as it doesn't take the place of my Deacon hat behind me, it can go anywhere on my display case. But thank you. I appreciate that, Pac. You know, it's been the ACC support over the years. I was an intern at the ACC after I left Wake, and it's been, you know, sort of a family environment that has given me the support and the mentoring that I've needed to get to where I am in media. So have to thank the ACC fam, and appreciate you bringing that up.
You got it. Well, listen, keep up the great work. Enjoy the madness, and we always appreciate the insight.
Thanks, Pac. Appreciate you having me. And tell Wes it's time to get off vacation, okay? get back to work.
He's grinding. He's been fighting it the last week or so. So hopefully he'll be back with us ASAP. But listen, always appreciate it. Take care of yourself.
Anytime. Thank you. Is he good? Everything okay?
Yeah, we're good. Everybody's good. He's just fighting it. You know, it's sometimes okay. Sometimes it just wears you out. You know how it goes.
Oh, I understand. Well, I'm sure he'll be back soon. He's a tough one.
You got
later.
That right. You got it. Be good. See ya. LaChyna Robbins, taking care of business. By the way, we'll take more phone calls too at 844-SAY-ACCN. Power Hour's right around the corner. Debbie Antonelli, Gene Deckerhoff, Elizabeth Kitley. It's a busy, busy Power Hour. We'll take your phone calls, all that good stuff. Come right back to you. I'm Mark Packer, my partner Wes Durham, under the weather. He'll be back hopefully soon. But Syracuse already punched their ticket. Florida State goes tonight. We got women's basketball beginning at high noon. Carolina, Alabama, Louisville tonight. We'll get back to all this stuff. Madness continues right here on Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
This is a segment in the history of the show, 346 editions. Did you know that Syracuse has an 81% winning percentage as a double-digit seed? It's the best in the NCAA tournament since seeding began. Double digits with Syracuse, they are dangerous. speaking of Syracuse, how about the Boeheim family, right? How about Jim talking about Buddy? You got to love that. Coach to son. Here's what Coach had to say.
Buddy's gotten better. He believes in himself now 100%, and it's taken a while to get to that point. When he was in ninth grade on his AAU team, he didn't start, and the guys ahead of him weren't very good. But I told him, I said, you're going to be good. You're going to be better than these guys someday. And fortunately, he not only listened to me, but he went to work and made it happen. And that's why I'm proud of him. It's not that he's good. Jimmy's good, too. But they both work. They just work hard at the game. I admire both my sons. But I really admire both my daughters because they're hard workers. And Sissy tells everybody she's got 3 state championships and they don't have any. So she's not even a little bit, giving a little bit to her brothers.
Oh, how about what Buddy's got to say about dear old dad?
It means everything. If I'm going to be honest, after the couple games, Georgia Tech game or something, saw a lot of stuff on Twitter talking about him and just crazy stuff, how he's, you know, been not doing well the last 10 years. Do you know how many people would dream about going to 2 Sweet 16s, 2 Final Fours, and an Elite Eight in 10 years? I think that's pretty good, and it just shows he's never had a losing season, back in the Sweet 16, and he continues to do it. He's one of the best coaches in all sports. There's no doubt about it, and he's – now there's no one better, and I think he continues to prove that. And it's no better feeling than helping him bring him to another Sweet 16, and just shows how great he is and the continued greatness he continues to have.
20 Sweet 16s for Jim Boeheim. Cuse has punched their ticket. They get Houston on Saturday. All right, 2 hours down. Power Hour is next, and it's going to be busy. We'll take your phone calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. Debbie Antonelli, Gene Deckerhoff, Elizabeth Kitley are coming up next right here on Packer and Durham on ACC Network. We continue to stream live on the ESPN app and you guys on SiriusXM channel 371.
The Packer and Durham podcast.